I have had plenty of questions, and that's why I think this is going to be a series of talks, because a lot of people want to start therapy or would like to start therapy or consider starting therapy or doing the work or reading something about it, but they feel unsure as to what the journey might look like. And so I consider myself almost like a Sherpa, a cartographer. And so a Sherpa is basically someone who sort of climbs the mountain with you, and they've walked the path many times, so they can tell you, let's go this way, let's go that way. I'm familiar with this path. We could try that. That would be a Sherpa. They help you carry your stuff a little bit, but they really are a guide. A cartographer is someone who maps things out for you. You know, these are the map makers of the world. Before we had like Google Earth, we had people that actually went and they said, okay, here's a river and it moves like this, and here are the mountains. So that's kind of my work. I've walked this path now personally. I've done my own stuff. I'm still in it, and I will always be in it. But I've walked this path for over 17 years with people. And so as I walk the path with people, of course, in the beginning, you're like, this is new, this is new, this is new. And then you start to see, oh, wait, there are some patterns here. And then you start to see, okay, I'm recognizing that at a certain age this happens, or a certain time this happens. And one of the things that my mind is actually quite good at, although my mind can be quite hectic, it is actually quite good at recognizing patterns. That's one thing that I will say that God has given to me. He did not give me the gift of sitting still, but he did give me the gift of just connecting really the most randomest things and saying, oh, wait, I see a pattern here. So I am here to share with you the patterns from the inner realm. Okay. So let's just get right into it. A few things that I will say just in a very zoomed out view. One, actually, I'm not going to say one, two, because I always lose my numbers. The one thing that I will say, not the first thing, but one thing that I will say, that there is no one way to do the work. Some will go bottom up. Others will go top down. Some will enter the realm through nature. Some will enter the realm through religion. The spiritual realm, meditation, whatever your path is towards the inner journey, at some point or another, you're going to have to do the other stuff too. But how you enter is going to be up to you. It's wherever you feel most comfortable. I feel most comfortable in my head, and that is where I started. But I will tell you later what happens when you just do one way. The other way also starts to say, well, what about me? So as the goal of the journey is to reach a state of wholeness, move towards wholeness, that means you're going to have to tend to all parts of you, your head, your body, your heart, your soul, your spirit, your context. Everything is going to be taken into consideration, okay? But where you begin is up to you. This is your journey. This is your path. And if someone tells you, you got to do it my way, walk away, because there is no one way. First thing. The next thing that I will say, that it is a journey, but it is also an experience. Someone asked me, it feels like never ending. When is it going to stop? It's not. It's not going to stop, guys. Once you're there, it's going to be there. Once you are engaged with the inner life, it's going to be there with you. Now, that does not mean that you need to sit there and like heal all day and like not tend to the other things that you are doing in your life. No, that actually would not be a responsible thing to do. it is going to be very important for you. Oh, I wrote that somewhere else. It's going to be very, very important for you to be able to compartmentalize. That's going to be something a healthy adult is going to need to do as they do this work. Now, I go into my therapy space twice a week, and I tend to the inner realm. I visit that space, and then I have to put it away and show up to work and to my kids and to my husband and to my parents and to my life and to my health the next day. Of course, there are days where it's like, ooh, that was heavy. And you are going to be digesting it. And there will be periods in the day where I will reflect on, we talked about this yesterday, and you know, it's really still sort of in there. And I will journal about it, or I will think about it, or I will process it, or I'll leave one of my friends a WhatsApp message. These are all ways I am digesting what has come up for me in therapy. But you can't just sit there and just say, I'm only going to focus on healing and just put my whole life on pause. Yes, there will be periods where you will also need to step away from whatever it is that you might be working on. Maybe you've got into something related to your mother wound, and every time you go near your mom now, you feel a little bit more agitated. Someone actually said that I'm really angry and I'm being passive aggressive as I'm tending to my inner wounds. Yeah, the aggression is a normal part of the journey. You will feel angry. You will feel that something got taken away from you. And part of the grief journey is anger, is feeling like you got cheated out of something. And so you're going to need to manage that so you are not just spilling out onto everyone. Compartmentalizing is going to be a very important part of doing this work responsibly. The next thing that I will say is that, well, actually, let me finish that one thought, is that it is never ending because it is a way of being with yourself. This is not just a journey. It is being connected to another realm inside of you. It is also an experience. So yeah, there were times where I was like, all right, I gotta go and I'm digging. And it was hard and it was exhausting and it was opening up something. But then there were moments throughout the journey where you just sit back and you say, oh, look at that. I'm here. So the journey actually looks like a spiral. It's going to look like a spiral, and you are going to be revisiting wounds again and again. So most of us have a few wounds that are really like the work that we have to do in this life, right? Mother wound is usually a big one because that's our fear of abandonment, our fear of rejection, our fear of just being connected to someone and then being disconnected from them without having any say. That really is one of our core wounds, most of us, that will go through this life. And to some varying degrees, it shows up for other people. Fear of vulnerability will sit under here. Fear of closeness, fear of losing, grief, all of that will sit here. So of course, we're going to be working on this. And to become an individual, to individuate, and to not be afraid to stand alone, that is where we are headed. But we've got to work through all of these other things. And so that, obviously, there will be periods where you come and you say, okay, I think I got this, because you are working through one of the relationships in your life where that might be showing up. And you worked through it and you got to a resolution. And that felt like you did something with this wound and it healed something inside of you. Then you go about and things are okay for a while, and then something triggers you again. And most people will say, man, I thought like this, like I wasn't supposed to go through this again. Can't tell you how many times I hear, or I've also even said it, that I thought I was done with this stuff. Like you are done and you're not going backwards, but you're just moving through the journey to a different layer of the same wound. So it is a little bit never ending. I'm couching this. Hold on. Let me just say it like it is. It is not supposed to end. It ends when we die, if that's what you want. And of course, you can always dissociate from it, and you can always distract yourself from it. You can always deny it, but you don't want that. You want your whole self to be showing up in life. You want all of you to experience all of this, right? So if you want all of you to experience all of this, then you've got to tend to this. And that's the goal, is to have more of this and this and this all showing up to life. So it is a journey and it is an experience. Guys, be with the experience of it. Be with the experience of life. Life is not just a to-do list. This is it. Like, this is life. Don't wait to celebrate, because this moment, this day, this age, you will never have it again. So you have to celebrate something today, because something is worth celebrating today. And where I am in my journey is exactly where I am in my journey, is exactly where I should be in my journey. Don't look at other people and be like, oh, she looks like she has it all together, and oh, he really needs to be in therapy, and oh, you know, we do all of these things. Just focus on yourself. You need to worry about your own path and your own stuff, and don't compare it to someone else, because that's when we move into all the things that were done to us, we do to ourselves. All the things we're trying to heal ourselves from, judgment and shame and comparison that happened to us in childhood, we start to do to ourselves in adulthood. So we don't want to do that. We want to say, hey, well, where are you at? What do you need? What do you want? What would you like? So the next thing is that you cannot approach this as a thing to do, which is kind of like what I said now, because then it becomes about control. Some of these things that I'm sharing with you, I have learned the hard way, and maybe you will need to control it for a while, and that's okay. Like, just notice it, because vulnerability, showing up as we are, is a scary thing. And so we will go through all of our defenses and all of our need to control and intellectualize and bypass and cognitive bypasses and spiritual bypasses and every bypass that we can have, we will do it. Until one day we'll say, well, okay, now that you've tried it all, let's just sit down and have a chat. That's usually what happens. The next thing is, even if you don't want to, even if you don't want to, you will move towards wholeness. Just like no one tells a child, hey, it's time for you to roll over now. Or, hey, I think you should start crawling now. Or, hey, you should start using your first word or start smiling. No one tells the child that. They just do it on their own. And one day it's just like that. And there's a path, right? Right around this time, the kid will roll over, and right around this time the kid will say its first word, and right around this time the kid will say a full sentence. We have these kind of this archetypal journey that a human being's physical and cognitive development takes place. Just like that, we have an archetypal journey on the psycho-spiritual development of a human being. And we notice that right around 35-ish, it can happen earlier, I'll go into that maybe another day, but typically, like, right, I said, some people can start talking a little bit earlier. I walked really fast. I walked really early in life. I talked really early in life. But there were other things I was a little bit more delayed on. So right? So around 35-ish, give or take, 5 years, there is, or maybe longer, you get where I'm going with this. Ish, okay? So no, don't like be like, well, I started when I was 22. That's fine. But usually it takes people about 30, 35 years to get to this place where, okay, I'm done. I'm done with life. Check, 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 check. I did it all. I got the job. I got the degree. I got the kid. I got the partner. I got the house. I'm done. But you feel like you've figured it out. And then you're like, oh, okay, now what? And then the now what is a moment of crisis, often referred to as the midlife crisis, which I will not go into today, but that is a moment of crisis. And that is precisely why, when people start to say, I have everything, but I am not happy. I can afford anything, or I can do anything, or I've tried it all. And I've been in a relationship and that's not it. And I've been, in a job and that's not it. That's not it. That's what they start to say. That this cannot be it. This cannot be the meaning of my life. So that is precisely what your spiritual life starts to do. You know, when the baby rolls over, that's just some inner spirit saying, all right, off you go. There's an inner spirit that starts to make a little bit of rumble inside of you. And it starts off by saying, this can't be it. This can't be it. And at some point, it's like, it'll whack you. It'll make you lose your job. It'll make you lose your partner. It'll make you lose something just to cause you to shake you up and say, come on, man, I'm trying to pull you in here. And you ain't listening. So it shows up like that. Like I said, I'm just telling you what I've seen, okay? And I'm just telling you what I went through. And it sometimes does that, and you will do everything in your power to resist it. But eventually, you will say, all right, now I think I need to pay attention to what's going on in here. And by the time people come to therapy, they've tried it all. They've read the books, they've gone to the seminars, they've taken the workshops, they've done all types of things, gone on expeditions, done their physical challenges, done all the things they thought was going to result in them being happier. Quit their job, got a new degree, started a new job. Nope, that's not it. So it is, although that might be important, like maybe you do need to quit that job and get a degree and do a new job. That might be part of the path, but there will still be something that your inner life will pull you towards. But people will resist it. It just will. We adults, we just do. We resist our evolution and our transformation because we seek the familiar. We seek the familiar. We want things to be the same, even though we say we're stuck, right? We say, I feel so stuck. I feel so stuck. And then the universe presents to you an opportunity to go do something. And then you're like, oh no, but I'm not really sure about that. And it's like, come on, honey. That's, oh, but I'm not skilled enough to do that, or I'm afraid to do that. So the universe is presenting to you these opportunities, but you choose the familiar. As human beings, we are coded to think of the unfamiliar as danger. And so we will always choose the familiar, even if the familiar is hurtful to us. That is why people who've lived in chaotic households will choose a chaotic partner and create a chaotic household because that is what is familiar. And the times they meet someone who is not chaotic, the times they meet someone who is actually a good, solid partner, who is safe, who is reliable, who is dependable, who cares for you. He just doesn't do it for me, or she just doesn't do it for me. Like the spark isn't there. Honey, that ain't the spark. That is your psyche trying to recreate something and finding the unfamiliar not as interesting or actually scary. People actually feel anxious when they are safe. if they have grown up in an environment that was anxiety provoking, when they come in to a situation in adulthood that feels safe, they will do all types of things to create chaos. They will do all kinds of things to sabotage, even poke at the other person. Maybe they come into a workplace that actually is psychologically safe, and then they start to act out. I've seen it. They start to act out, and it's like, nope, this isn't for me. Because they need to actually be in a workplace where they don't feel safe, because that is what is familiar to them. Home place, workplace, all the same. We like feeling the familiar. And that is why you will resist the inner journey or the inner calling. Often times. So how have I seen this happen? I have seen it happen, one, I literally can tell you that this has happened, where people say, you know, like when I sit with my friends, like I feel like we're just not, like, I feel exhausted. I don't, like, relate to anything that they're saying. I don't find joy in going out with that same social group. Why do they keep doing it? Because that is what they've always done. What do you mean I have to now make a new group of friends? I am a loyal person. Loyalty will get in the way of you progressing in life and you actually moving beyond what is familiar. Other people will say simply that, well, that's the way I've always done it. I don't know what's gotten into me, man. All of a sudden, I just want to garden. Or all of a sudden, I just want to hang out with my family. I don't want to work. All of a sudden, I want to pick up my kid from school. I just really enjoy picking up my kid. I have no idea what's gotten into me. That is precisely you moving in your spiritual or psycho-spiritual development. It's a psychological and spiritual development, okay? So when I say psycho-spiritual, I'm not saying psycho. I'm saying psychologically and spiritually evolving. You can physically evolve to a certain point, and then once you have physically evolved, then it's time to move into the spiritual and psychological realm to become a mature adult. Other people say that they're afraid of being alone. Well, if I leave this group of friends, who am I going to be friends with? They're afraid of change. I've already told you that. They also don't acknowledge or accept that they, in order for them to evolve, the caterpillar must die in order for you to become a butterfly. And that death can really feel like a death, guys. It's not a joke. Like, it is a scary experience when everything in your life feels like it's no longer fitting. And now you have to let it all go. And that grief and that loss and that, it really feels like a death. Others will describe it as a depression. If we just look through the DSM, that's precisely what it looks like. It looks like depression. It looks like anxiety, but it actually is a spiritual calling towards the inner realm. Other people avoid this inner realm because they feel like they're getting old. I've seen this, where they're so afraid of aging that, you know, let me give you an example here. So when I was younger, like, I could stay out till like 3 a.m. and then like sleep for 2 hours and then go to work at 7 and be on it, like sharp, steady, focused. I was working at 7 a.m. So I was like, I don't need to sleep more than 2 hours. And I really didn't. I really could run on 2 hours of sleep all day long. I do not recommend that. But let's just say that was me in my 20s. So when the 30s came around and then I had children and then I had life and then I had the lighthouse and. I wasn't able to do 2 hours of sleep, but I was still able to do like 4 to 5 hours of sleep. And now that I'm in my 40s, I'm like, hey, do you want to meet at 8 for dinner? It's like, or they say, hey, do you want to meet at 8? And I'm like, am, because I'm not meeting you at 8. We better be halfway through whatever it is that we're doing at 8, right? So it does, okay, it is age related also. My body just needs different things at different time. But then what society has painted that is that you are getting old because the young stay out late and they party and they, you know, they can stay awake till the wee hours of the night, where the old are like staying home in their pajamas at 6 p.m. Okay, that is an image. But that's not what actually is happening. There are people who are moving through the journey, and the things that used to give them joy no longer give them joy. And it feels like, well, if I don't want to hang out with this group of people and I only want to hang out with this group of people, am I getting old? If I don't want to have this type of relationship and I want to have this type of relationship, am I getting old? And so they will just say, actually, no, I don't want this. I'm going to go back to this. And they force themselves into that life. And they drink themselves into that life. They numb themselves into that life because they are so afraid of getting older. So it is a little bit of this anti-aging kind of mentality that keeps us resistant to the inner world. The next thing that I will say, that if you just do it, talk therapy. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. I engage in it personally for myself, but I also facilitate that for some of my clients. We also do plenty of that at the Lighthouse. If you stay with just one, so there are some people who are somatic experiencing therapists, or there are some people who say, well, we'll just yoga, or they will just engage with nature, and they will just choose one thing. If you just choose one thing, then you don't have the other things, right? And we want all the things because we are a whole being and we have all sorts of needs and we have all sorts of things that can awaken things inside of us. So we want to engage in all ways. But if you only stay with the head, just a story, then it remains just a story sometimes. And we can get stuck in the story. So while I don't do somatic work with my clients, and my therapist did not do somatic work with me, I engaged in somatic work outside of that therapy. I learned trauma release. I learned breathing. I learned yoga. I learned stretching. I learned horse riding. I even ran as a way of releasing my trauma, as with the intention. So I do think that the body has to be a very important part of this journey. We can become dissociated and stay dissociated if we do not engage the body in some way. Because emotions are energy in motion. It is an energy inside of you. And if we just stay up here, then all of this is still going on, and we will never feel well. We will never feel at peace because there is a storm inside here, and there are heavy blocks inside here. So we keep telling the story and we keep organizing ourselves up here, but this stuff is keeping us weighed down and acts out every now and then and throws us in a state of panic every now and then, puts us in a state of freeze every now and then. So think about this as when you are a child and when you are young, you have a lot of emotions. And there are some emotions that were just too big for you to digest alone. And you needed an adult with you to help you chew that emotion up and metabolize that emotion. That is what co-regulation looks like. And because we don't have a fully formed nervous system that we need the adult in childhood, especially when we are very young. We need the adult to say, everything's going to be okay. I got you. You're safe. I know this is really painful. I see that you're hurting, and I'm with you, and you are not alone, and I've got you. Most of us did not have that adult. Not because we didn't have loving parents, but it's just because parents were maybe didn't even know that that was going on. Maybe it happened at the park. Maybe it happened when you were at summer camp. Maybe it happened when you were at grandma's and like your cousin did something and really irritated you or really traumatized you in some way or really bothered you, but you didn't have, it made you feel powerless and it made you feel like you were not in control and there was no adult to say, I got you. Right? So it can happen in any of those moments where that moment becomes frozen in time inside of us. So you can think of it as an ice block. You can think about it just as like a pebble. It's not like a big brick, but it's just like a pebble and a pebble. Or just think about it as ice because it feels like it's more manageable that way. But an ice, 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 man. We become Iceman or Icewoman. And that is literally just being dissociated and numb. We can't feel anything. It's cold. It's exiled. You know, I saw Batman in it where they say death or exile. And it's basically exile through walking on ice. It literally is like ice, Iceland over here. And our job as an adult is to go looking for those exiled parts of us that are stuck in those emotional plate, like ice blocks. And that's what the work is all about. That's what it's all about. It's to reclaim all the parts of us that were suspended and frozen in time, exiled from us. So we don't have an inner child. We have inner children. And inner parts that we must go in and recognize, reclaim, reconnect, remember all the parts that were split off from us in childhood. That's what the work is. Why? So we can move towards wholeness again. So we can live life fully again. So we can engage with life authentically. Again, that's the work. This is not so you can heal and that's it. Why do we heal? So we can connect better, so we can feel more. So when our heart breaks, we do let it break. It's not frozen and we don't feel anything. My heart breaks all the time. It breaks and it breaks and it breaks open and I soothe and I break open and I soothe and I break open. And this is it. This is what vulnerability looks like. That I let things touch me and break me, move me, touch me. That's what vulnerability is about. And I want to get to the end of my life and say, I felt it. I felt that. You know, there are times when you really feel something and you're like, wow, like it brings you to tears. The more you reclaim, the more ice we melt, the more we feel. And that can be a scary thing. So I will say that once you start feeling, you feel everything. And then you're like, I don't want to feel anything. Turn it off. Because that's what you did when you were younger. You turned it off. Because it was just too much. And for the highly sensitive human beings and the empaths out there, it was way too much. I almost remember the moment where I decided I don't want to feel anymore. I actually remember. I was in the basement of my aunt's house in Chicago. And I said, I'm done. I'm done feeling. I was 12 years old. Up until that point, everything, it was all reactions. It was just someone would say something and I would react. Someone would say something, I would highly, highly sensitive. And then I just said, I'm not going to let anything bother me. I'm not going to let anything touch me. And I didn't. There were still things that I reacted to. But for the most part, nothing could love me, nothing could touch me, and nothing could hurt me. And that was that. Until I moved into my 27th year of life, and then I was like, oh, what's that? And the inner calling began. So yeah, we are frozen in time. So maybe I'll talk a little bit about the feelings that come up. So the inner journey, you know, like there's all these memes where you're like, oh, I thought life was all gonna be like healed once I started this journey. Like, you know, that little girl who's like in one of those like Disney World rides where like the spinning teacup, like that's kind of what it feels like at first. You're just like, what is going on? Why am I feeling everything? I was so good. Why would I do this to myself? Like, ignorance really is bliss. Like, I just want to go back to being ignorant because I don't want to feel this pain, and I don't want to feel this anger, and I don't want to feel this agitation, and I don't want to hurt. That's when you're going to need what we refer to as the inner wise adult. You can call it the inner wise parent, but if the word parent is too triggering for you, it's just an adult. The research from resiliency shows that we need one adult. It doesn't have to be the parent. So call it what you want. Your fairy godmother, your loving sage, your guru, but there's got to be something on the inside that says, I got you. You ain't alone. I got you. And so, before you go off and do this work, truly do this work, and a proper encounter with the shadow realm, okay? You've got to have enough of an inner adult inside of you to be able to soothe those parts that are like, whoa, what is going on? You've got to have that. So how do you do that? Well, think of someone who is kind, loving, soothing, generous, safe, considerate, present, attentive in your life. And it could be like 9 people that you just thought of, because one is attentive, one is loving, one is generous. Now put that and do that for yourself. It is called cultivation. Cultivate meaning grow. You've got to grow these things. So it might feel a little bit like, this sounds a little bit weird, but let me tell you what it looks like. So a realization comes in therapy. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't realize that was me. It was me, wasn't it? Oh my God. And the shame comes. And then I say, okay, all right, honey, I got you. We're going to get through this. You know, this is part of the path. This is part of the path. And we're going to move through this. And we're going to breathe through this. Soft front, strong back. Soft front, strong back. That's what we're going to do. Keep your back strong. Keep your soft front. Don't harden, soften. Don't harden, relax. I might do an opening exercise of the chest. I might do some hip openers. But I'm just saying, it's okay. It's just a feeling. It's just a feeling. Breathe through it. You are safe. You see, that's it. That's what you have to do. You can hold yourself. This is through polyvagal, those 2 videos that I did that I'm always referencing. There's all kinds of physical things you can do. You can even look at a flower. That causes a sense of calm inside of you. You can, you know, there's touch. There is being with someone who is safe, but not expecting them to be the person who gives you safety, because then you are just recreating that little kid moment. But you may need a co-regulator, and usually that's what therapists are. But saying that I'm going to be okay, I've got this, you've got this. Breath, movement, is going to be a great way to do that, to shake it off. Usually when I'm so scared, I can't shake. Usually when I'm so scared, I usually freeze. And so I really need to just like love myself in that moment. For me, the hand on the heart, there's so many neural networks going on here, just putting your hand on your heart and saying, I am safe. I'm safe. You're safe. You're safe. You got this. I usually will laugh like, oh, here it is. Like, I can't help it. I just find humor in things. But humor is also a defense. I realize that. But it can really be funny if you just think about it. Like, what is this all about? Sometimes I think about it and I'm just like, this is just kind of funny. The whole thing, even the mess in it for me, is a little bit humorous. Like, what are we doing here? What am I doing here? What are you doing here? Like, what are we doing? You know? So it's a bit like that. It's like, it's okay. You got this. You got this. And so we do that. But most people will find themselves being pulled into the inner realm through some of these paths. They're tired of making the same mistake again and again. They keep choosing the unavailable partner. They keep recreating the childhood dynamics where someone is the oppressor and they are the victim, or they are the oppressor and someone else is the victim. These unhealthy patterns that they learned in childhood, they're tired of it. They want to do something about this. They don't want to do this anymore. That's one way people show up in therapy. The second way is that they've tried everything. They read every book. They went to every workshop. They went to every course. They traveled the earth. And yet, they still feel that restlessness inside of them. So then they say, all right, let me now just try this. I mean, come on, guys. We'll do anything, anything, but sit with ourselves. We'll learn anything. We'll take any course. We'll pay any amount of money than to just sit with ourselves. The third reason is that the other parts of them actually get louder. So the archetypal journey of the life, adult development, is that we move towards wholeness. When we are going through life, we become, you know, imagine we start off this way and we split, 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 freeze, 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 and then we come to this version of ourselves. And we say, okay, this works, and this is an adapting adult in my life. This is how I'm going to go through life. And then at some point, the other parts of you are like, hello, something's missing. I am not feeling. I'm not going to let you feel. I'm not going to let you do anything. You have to tend to me. And so they start to like poke at you from, you know, the shadows, and they weigh you down. Or your spirit just withdraws energy. It says, whatever you were interested in, I'm not going to let you be interested in that anymore. So it withdraws energy from everything. And people say, oh my God, I'm depressed. Oh my God, I don't want to do anything. Everything I do, I'm like, that's not it. Everything I do, I'm trying to find joy. I can't find joy. And you know, when people say, well, joy is inside of you. Yeah, no, but like, how? What does that even mean? What do you mean joy is inside of me? I can't contact the joy inside of me then. That's when we have to go defrost. And that's what brings people into therapy. And then the fourth reason why people might engage in therapy or the inner realm is our body starts to break down. And it starts to communicate all sorts of things to us. The shoulder, the thyroid, our voice, our uterus, our fertility, our hormones, our body aches and pains, all our messages. You know the movie Interstellar? Interstellar, where the father is in like the bookshelf and then he pushes the book and then the watch falls and the girl is like, imagine if you were that girl and the spirit of yours is like poking through your body saying, come on, man, you got to pay attention. That's really what it is. That it's trying to get your attention. That's what feelings are. That's what body aches are. I mean, sometimes a body ache is just a body ache, but other times you know that there's something else. You know, when you go to a tough workout in the gym, yeah, okay, the body is now, this is just the muscles recovering and doing what they need to do. But there are other times where it's just like there is a lower back pain, and it just is a pain in my, and that precisely is, you need to pay attention. I'm not gonna let you carry this anymore. So your body communicates like the bookshelf, and it's poking at you through emotions, your anger, your grief, your lack of joy, your lack of connection. All of that is communicating. Come on in. We need to work. We need to work through reclaiming those parts of us, defrosting those parts of us. Yeah. Let's see. And somebody said, well, how do you know you're done? It's the same thing that I kind of answered earlier, but you're not done, but you do feel a mastery of the self. It's like anything in life. When I first started horse riding, the ankle is there, the hip is there, the hand is here. Like, what are we doing? Or when you first started riding a car, you're like, we're supposed to do this and check this mirror and check that mirror. And now we drive and we don't even know how we got home. That's precisely what starts to happen when we are doing the work, is that, of course, in the beginning, it's like, oh, wobble, wobble, wobble. But you do come to a place where you say, I actually don't know if this is my intuition or if this is just a thought, but I'm going to go with it. And there's a mastery of the inner world, or the mastery of what might show up from your psyche. You're not as destabilized anymore because you know how to ride the wave. You're like a surfer, or you know how to ride the horse. You're like a rider who has mastery in that realm. That's why when people bring me any emotion, I'm not scared of it. I've learned it. I know what to do with it. I know how to be with it. Sometimes there's nothing to do but just be. In the beginning, you're like, oh, should I fix this one? Or should I sit with this one? Or should I let this one go? Like, what should I do? Sometimes you gotta do nothing. You just gotta be. And you come to a place of being with things. And this thing bothers you slightly, and you let it go. And this thing comes, and you're like, nope, not gonna pay attention to that. Not gonna do that. Not gonna feed that. Gonna let that one go. Gonna stay with this. So you do come to that place. But that doesn't mean your work is done. I was having that conversation recently with my analyst, and I was saying, well, do I keep just showing up, even if I have nothing to say? Because, like, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling pretty good right now. And it was like, yeah, we keep showing up because there's periods where you're like, la, 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 and boom, something happens. You don't want to go into therapy when the boom comes, because then you have to like fill them in. And so if you just stay on the path with a witness and a guide, then they kind of know what you went through. It's almost like you were driving along in a car with someone, and you saw a beautiful field of flowers, but then you saw an accident, and then you saw a farm. If I just meet them at the train station, and then I have to explain to them there was a field of flowers, and then there was an accident, and then it takes a lot more effort than for them to just kind of go along through the good and bad. But this is me talking about analysts, but this is what I'm saying to you, even if you're doing this work on your own. You can for sure do this work on your own. It just is going to take a lot more time. It's going to take a lot more effort. It's like learning how to code, but you don't have a teacher. Or it's learning, and you're learning through a book, or you're learning through, but you don't know, have someone telling you this is exactly where you're messing up. Or it's like going to the gym and you're lifting, but you're not building muscle, or you're lifting it in the wrong way, so you might actually injure yourself. It's the same thing. So having a therapist is basically someone who knows this inner realm and this inner realm, and they help you just say, okay, we're gonna go with this one. Let's put this one on hold. You can't tend to everything at the same time, so let's just stay with this. So that's the benefit of doing this work with someone who knows about it, just like any other thing that you would do. I think I'm gonna stop here. I will say one last thing, that actually maybe I'll say maybe a couple more things. I'll just say that you have to have patience. You have to have an attention span. You have to have a commitment to this. And you know, in the world we're living in right now, like someone just told me, like, I have to say everything in 3 seconds. I'm supposed to make reels, or I'm supposed to do something for the algorithm to pay attention to me, and I have to do it in 3 seconds. I said, I ain't doing it. Maybe everyone will unfollow me, and that's okay. I ain't doing it in 3 seconds. Nothing in life is 3 seconds, not good or bad. Like, things have to, you have to hold something long enough to have it mean something to you. You have to be with something long enough to have it mean something to you. How do I talk about the inner realm and this journey and your psycho-spiritual development in 3 seconds? How do I get your attention in 3 seconds? I can't. Either you're in it or you're not, right? This is what it's about. You have to make a commitment to yourself. You have to show up for yourself. This is not a 3 second journey, guys. This is like we are in it. And you have to show up again and again and again and again and again and again. And that is a commitment. But most of us get bored. We want the new thing. If I tell you, you have to breathe for 11 minutes, you'll do it. You'll do it for like 2 months, but then you're like, read another book and start doing that. No, keep breathing. You've got to keep breathing for 11 minutes, even if you want to do the new thing. Guys, you probably all know what you need to do. All of you know what you need to do. But we don't do it because we think, well, maybe something easier will come on, or maybe someone else will tell something, and then that might actually like take us there faster. There ain't no hack for this one. It's a commitment. It's like a long-term relationship. There's no way to hack a long-term relationship. There's things you can do to deepen your connection and do different things, but there ain't no hack for this. You're in it for the long haul. And so that means you have to be able to sustain. You have to do it in a way that is sustainable. Okay? But there will be times where the portal is open. I use this language of a portal where something comes and shakes you up. Maybe it's a loss. Maybe it was a fight you had with a friend. Maybe it was someone who ghosted you. Something happens and something comes and rocks you a little bit, you know, shakes you up. That's a portal. Do not spiritually bypass that one, guys, because that's literally where you go in. So triggers are also portals. If something keeps triggering you, move towards the trigger. What is it about the trigger? It's a portal into your inner realm where you will find other things that you will thaw out. So we usually say, oh, I'm going to let that one go. Don't let it go. I say this with consideration. I mean, I'm not saying hold on to it, but like, don't let it go either, whatever that means. But we can't let it go. We can just put it down. We don't have to carry it along with us, but we will put it down and we will say, okay, I keep getting triggered by men who talk down to me. I'm going to write that one down. I'm not saying you got to carry it along, but you still have to pay attention because that will take me to something with my issues with authority or my issues with trust with men, whatever. I'm just using that as an example. So don't let it go, put it down, but carry it and on a piece of paper with you to tend to it. But it is a commitment, guys, and it is a meaningful commitment. It is the most beautiful thing the most beautiful relationship that you will ever have that will inform all of your other relationships. When this starts to feel settled, everything starts to feel settled. And then you realize, that's what they meant. That everything is a mirror. That everything outside of you is on the inside also. Because when this starts to feel settled, the outside starts to feel settled too. When there is no war inside, the outside feels peaceful too. And nothing actually changes. Everybody, all the players are still the same. And you just feel different, and then all of a sudden they are different with you. That's like magic. That's the journey. That's why we take this journey. That's why we want to do the work. That's why we want to go and have a rich inner life so we can show up to life with all of ourselves. So we know who we are, authentically who we are, and we show up authentically. Most people don't know what authenticity really feels like because they are just responding to something, reacting to something. And that's not authenticity. Authenticity is living life from the inside out, not the outside in. This is who I am. This is how I show up in my relationships, in my work, with myself. This is who I am. And I'm not afraid that you may not choose me as I am, because I choose me as I am. I'm not afraid that you are going to leave me when I express my authenticity with kindness and my highest values, because I choose me and I will not leave me. That's what it's all about. So we'll do another one on authenticity. It feels like it's a really messy space right now, where people thinking full disclosure is actually authenticity when it actually isn't. Authenticity is not full disclosure. Authenticity is you being true to your values. What are your personal values? And showing up in those values and living in those values. That's what authenticity is. It's not knowing every little detail of every person's life. Please don't let social media let you think that that is what authentic is. I have to show up as my authentic self. Authentic self of in which dimension? And this is where a lot of people are getting really confused in their relationships too. Because they're like, well, my authentic self is angry, so I'm going to lash out at everyone around me. No. Values. What are your values? Live those values. That is authenticity. We don't want to act out from our animal instincts. We want to understand why you're angry. Understand what boundary got crossed. And then we want to communicate that boundary in a kind, gentle, and firm way. That's authentic. Not losing your temper. Not saying just whatever comes to your mind. Not authentic. And on that note, I will love you and leave you. And I will see you guys next week.